Well, good evening. It's good to see those of you who are not away for Memorial Day. We have a great opportunity to talk about the importance of Christ's shed blood in our studying as we work through systematic theology, Christology. Why is the shed blood so important? We have spent the last few weeks in our systematic theology class, if you will, on Christology. We have looked at His deity, His incarnation, His humiliation, His condescension, His earthly life, His death, His atonement, His 3 days in between death and resurrection as He descended into Sheol, Abraham's bosom, and Hades. We talked about that. And now we're going to talk about, if I could put it into a picture, the red tacky substance that was sliding down the cross during this timeline called the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood that was all over the hands of Longinus, the centurion soldier that was in charge of Christ's death, the one who said, "Truly, this is the Son of God." Why did Christ have to shed His blood? In my ordination council, that was one of the questions. Did Christ have to shed His blood? What is the significance? Did Christ have to shed His blood to save us? Now, prophetically, we find within the Old Testament, sure, He had to fulfill prophecy that was foretold in Isaiah and the other prophets. But why couldn't He just die on our behalf in a less violent way? Why couldn't Christ fall off a cliff for the salvation of our sins? Why couldn't He be stoned to death like Stephen to save ourselves, to save us from our sins? Well, the answer to that question starts by understanding the Old Testament arrangement for dealing with humanity's sins. And that is the blood sacrifice found and confirmed within the Mosaic Covenant. But before we go any further, let's ask God's blessing and let's ask the Holy Spirit to guide us in our search of His Scriptures. And then we'll walk through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Gracious Father, we pray that the ministry of Your Holy Spirit that is the deposit into our lives, our soul, the residence of this temple, our temples, be our teacher this evening, on a beautiful day, on a relaxing weekend. May we take time to gaze upon Your blood and what it means. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's take a look at the blood of Christ. Finish this verse for me, if you will. The wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin is not to shed blood. That was a means in which death was occurred. But the wages of sin is death. Not only physical death, but more specifically spiritual death, which is eternal separation from God. Sin demands death. And that's important as we move forward about why the shed blood of Jesus Christ was so important. When Adam and Eve sinned, death came into the world. Every man, woman, and child, including you and I, faced the reality of physical death, not only physical death, but spiritual death as well, which is separation from God. For sin separates us not only spiritually from God, but also physically from God through physical death. One simple but irrefutable doctrinal truth is this: sin demands death. Grab that, if you will. So what was God to do with man? Man had sinned. Man was a sinner. Man was not right with God through our universal representative, whether you want to go federal headship or seminal headship. Because Adam did what God told him not to do, all of us, through the first Adam, became sinners. So what was God to do? Holiness demands that sin be punished. Justice demands that it cannot allow it to slide. Love does not want to see man perish, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So what does a holy, just, loving God do? Well, He needs to provide a permanent solution. And He said that to Eve when He said, He will strike your heel, but your seed will crush his head. But He also offered a temporary solution, if you will, and it is this, that God instituted an agreement with man to delay the penalty of sin, that is death, through sin blood offerings. The shedding of blood, and it being offered on an altar together with life given in death, that innocent life shed its blood so that our sins in Old Testament times, man's sins, might be covered and punishment be delayed. In order for man's sin to be covered and delayed, knowing that sin demands death, man was allowed to sacrifice the life of an animal and shed its blood to cover his personal sin. God ordained this when he clothed Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3. God stated this requirement in the Mosaic Law, Leviticus chapter 17, Hebrews chapter 9. He honored it when he accepted Abel's offering. When Abel brought that blood offering, that sacrifice before the Lord. Now, conversely, we know that he accepted Abel's offering, which was blood sacrifice, but he did not accept whose offering? Talk to me, class. Cain's offering. All right? Because sin demands death. Romans, not crops. And we'll talk about why in just a moment. Sin is paid by the blood and the death of another, a substitute, the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ, or it will require your own eternal death. The price of death cannot be escaped, nor can it be earned. Either you will pay for it eternally with your own life, or it will be paid by one who is perfect as a substitute for you. Now, the only way to escape eternal damnation is to have one who has never sinned die on your behalf. Now, do you see man's dilemma? How many perfect human beings have been born into this world except Jesus Christ? How many? None. You can see the desperate state of man. Cain's sacrifice was denied because he did not bring blood sacrifice. Now, it says in scriptures that he did not do it in faith. I want to talk about that in a moment. He did not bring a substitute death for his own. I like this picture here. You can see the animal saying, "For what it's worth, Cain, I liked your sacrifice better." Well, obviously he would, because he didn't have to die. We must remember that in Old Testament sacrifice system, it was a foreshadow of Christ sending his son to shed his blood on our behalf. And every time you brought a sin offering and you shed blood, you were by faith proclaiming that you believed the prophecy of one who would crush Satan's head and take our place. God said in the Old Testament, when you bring a sin offering, you must bring me the blood of life. Why? We'll talk about that. When Cain brought an offering to God, he did not come with a blood sacrifice. Therefore, he did not come by faith. Sometimes people will say, well, Cain's sacrifice, it wasn't that it was crops. It was that he didn't have faith. It was both and. He didn't come by faith, and it represented itself in the fact that he did not shed blood in his offering. He did not come through God's requirements. He wasn't acknowledging God's redemptive plan. God said, bring me a blood sacrifice that will point to the Redeemer who is coming in the world one day. God said, every time you seek the forgiveness of sins, I want your sacrifice to point to my Son, Jesus Christ, and the shedding of his blood. Come on that basis. For no one comes to the Father, finish the sentence, class, no one comes to the Father except through who? What's his name? Jesus Christ. So I want your sacrifice to point to the fact that you believe this. Every time they shed blood, every time it pointed to a coming sacrifice, like the Passover did as well, a coming Savior. Blood sacrifice was an acknowledgement that one day blood would be spilt to save mankind. But Cain did not bring blood. He did not come with an offering where life was taken. What did he bring? He brought what? The works of the what did Cain do for a living? Talk to me. He was a farmer. What did he bring? Crops. What are crops? Grab this imagery, for it's phenomenal. You'll see it echoed through the New Testament, because that's what the Old Testament is. It's God constantly revealing himself to us. He brought crops, which were the works of his what? His hands. He didn't come by faith shedding blood as a foreshadow of a Savior dying on our behalf. He came with the works of His hands. Cain came by the works of His hands, not by the shedding of innocent blood that pointed to a sacrifice of God's own Son. Sin can never be paid for by the works of man's hands. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, we know it very well, says, "And not from yourselves is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Every time man gave a blood sacrifice, it pointed to the future gift of God's Son and the shedding of His blood. It showed faith in that. Cain came with the works of his hands, and it was rejected. And by the way, it always will be. We cannot earn our salvation. Cain did not come by faith. And the imagery is seen in the New Testament as well. Now, it's an important note here. If I want to move to slide number five here, Mike. Animal blood sacrifice could only cover sins from God's sight, if you will. It could not remove them. Hebrews speaks about that. It pointed to the coming Lamb of God, who by His sacrifice would once and for all put sin away for those who trust Him and receive His blood payment as the substitutionary atonement for mankind when we place our faith in Him. But now that we know that Christ had to die, why did He have to shed His blood? Well, it fulfilled prophecy, yes, but let's go a little bit further than that. Why not fall off a cliff? Why not be stoned? Why not die in a less violent way? Why must He shed His blood? Why does God demand blood for atonement? Well, there's really three words, and we'll find this borne out in Hebrews, but there's really three words, if you will, and it's called proof of life. More specifically, blood is proof of death. Proof of death. And we'll find this in the gospel accounts as well. It is impossible to live without blood. It is impossible to live without blood. If it is removed from the body and not immediately returned, the shedding of blood assured that an animal was dead and that life was taken. You could take fur, you could take the horns, you could take a limb of an animal, and the animal could still survive. But to shed its blood, which, by the way, was a violent act. We tend to want to kind of sanitize it a little bit. We'll be seeing that as we work our way through the book of Hebrews here in the next year. All right, it was a gory, bloody mess. And they drained the blood out of these animals. To shed the blood of an animal and to place it on an altar or to smear it all over your doorposts as they did for Passover, it assured that life was taken. When Christ died on the cross, grab this. When Christ died on the cross, Sabbath was quickly coming, and they didn't want to have their sin up on a cross when they were getting ready to worship on Sabbath. They wanted the evidence of their murder taken down. Of course, they wasn't supposed to be there on the Sabbath day, so they had to make sure that these three people were dead. We have the two thieves and we have Jesus, all right? And they came up to the two thieves, and what did they do? Talk to me. They broke their legs, because when they broke their legs, they were unable to push themselves up, and that would have suffocated them. And it would have ensured a speedy death. And when they came to Jesus Christ, fulfilling prophecy that not one bone was broken, they saw that He was already dead. And they said, "Good enough, we're good, let's move forward." Is that what they did? No, it's not what they did. Seeing that He was already dead, they still needed, and here's our context, proof of death. So they took a spear, and what did they do? Talk to me. They pierced His side. John 19:34 says this: "Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of," what class? "Blood and water." What was the blood flowing out? It was proof of death. They pierced His side. Proof that the spotless Lamb of God, infinite in quality and quantity, was assuredly dead, fulfilling God's requirement of sin offering. Blood is the tangible evidence in God's agreement with man that life was taken. It makes sure that, you remember, there are a lot of conspiracy theories out there that said Jesus never really died, that he went into the swoon theory, it's called, where he went into a deep sleep. They put him into the tomb, and he eventually came out of his coma, and he woke up, and apparently in his great strength of being beaten and tortured and crucified, rolled the stone away. It's ludicrous. His blood and his body was drained. That tangible evidence of his life gone. The shed blood of Christ was the tangible evidence and the fulfillment of the Mosaic law that Jesus' life was given for you and for me, and it is unmistakable. Now, why is this blood so significant? Why do we say, what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Why is it when you flip through the hymns, there's always songs about the blood? I wish there were more songs today, the newer songs, that would talk about the blood. Amen? Three of us. Great. Throughout the Bible, the shedding of the blood was a sign or a symbol of not only life being taken, but it being taken violently. Being taken violently. In 2 Samuel and Matthew, a murderer was said to have the blood of his victim on him. Their blood is on your hands if you are a murderer. Stephen's death was described, even though he was stoned to death, as his blood being shed because it was violent. When revenge caused death, when you were mad at someone and it caused someone to die, it was said that their blood was upon your head. Another one is if you accidentally... I'm sorry, they were called the revenger of blood. If you accidentally took someone's life on accident, they said, the blood is on your head. So in every way, the shed blood of an animal, and especially the shed blood of Jesus Christ, pictured a violent, full death of the sacrifice on our behalf, specifically Jesus Christ. Now, what is the purpose of the blood? The purpose of the blood. All through the Old Testament, God called man to holiness. Israel was a picture of this. Whenever you see the storyline of Israel, God is revealing himself to mankind and how poor of a job mankind can do in being right with God. Now, there's more to it than that, but it is a wonderful picture. They were a representative of man's problems and failures that we can look at. Man could not live a perfect life that God requires. Every time Israel failed to meet the Mosaic law, God gave them another opportunity. And they failed again. And he gave them another opportunity. They failed again. And again, and again, and again, and again, and again, times 10. They constantly failed to meet God's expectation of holiness in their lives. Just like, by the way, just like you and I constantly fail to meet that. For all have sinned and fall, what class? Short. All of us. Israel, you, me, everything that has ever drew breath into its lungs, we fail God's standard. I wake up in the morning and fail his standard. God revealed a great deal about himself through his relationship with Israel. It's like God said to Israel, and I know what I'm about to say is theologically accurate, but it is an oversimplification. So allow me to do so. It's like God said when he was dealing with Israel, and we believe in dispensationalism here. I'm not saying we are equal with Israel, but also when he works with us. Every time I call you to holiness, you fail. Every time I call you to do what you are to do, you fail. Every time I restore you, you wander away. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send someone, Jesus Christ, I'm going to send someone who will do it right, who will live a perfect life, who will fulfill the whole law, and then, you remember Christ said, in this, all of the law is fulfilled. I will send someone to fulfill the whole law, to live a perfect life, to do it right, because you can't, I can't, we can't, and then I will sacrifice that one. I will shed his blood, giving proof, tangible evidence of his death, and I will give his perfection to you. Wow! We couldn't do it on our best day over and over and over and over again. So he sends Jesus to do it for us. And then sheds his blood. And then takes that perfection
from God, from Jesus Christ, and gives it to Madison Summerfield. Gives it to me, gives it to you. Anyone who has placed their faith, like Abel, in the shed blood. In the shed blood of Jesus Christ. This is called the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ through His shed blood. We stand not in our own filthy rags of righteousness. We stand in the imputed, perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ that was given to us. Amen? The shed blood. What you and I could never do, Jesus did. Then God took it from Him, gave it to you, gave it to me. How great is our God, truly His love endures forever. So with all of this understanding, we're going to wrap it up here. So with all of this understanding, that violent death that blood represents, the proof of life or the proof of death, blood sacrifice representing God's provision for sin, that we cannot work for it with our hands like Cain. We can't come with the works of our hands. Salvation is through God's provision alone. With all of that in mind, I want you to cast your eyes on this text found in Hebrews chapter 9, 16 through 22, when Moses instituted the Mosaic Law. And watch this pop. Moses said, it is necessary to prove death. Prove death. The tangible evidence that life is taken. To prove death of the one who made it. This is why even the first covenant was not put in effect without blood. The first covenant couldn't go in without blood. Oh, and by the way, the new covenant, the blood of Jesus Christ, could not be put into effect without His blood. When Moses had proclaimed every command of the law to the people, he took blood of calves, a temporary covering of man's sin, the blood together with water. Now, stop for a moment. What flowed from Jesus' side after the when they looked for tangible evidence that life was taken from Christ? They pierced Him with a sword, and what came out? Blood. And water flowed from Jesus' side. When the Mosaic Law was instituted, He took proof of life, He took blood, and He took water, and He threw it on, check this verse out here, scarlet wool. You ready for some imagery? Isaiah 1:18 says, though your sins are as what class? Scarlet. They shall be white as snow. What can wash our sins away? Our scarlet sins? What class? The blood of Jesus Christ. And then, with branches of hyssop. Now, when Jesus was dying on the cross and they lifted up wine and vinegar, what kind of branch did they lift it up on? Hyssop branch. How super cool is the phenomenal amount of energy, evidence found in this first covenant. He said, this is the blood of my covenant, which God has commanded for you. Almost sounds like that you find in 1 Corinthians when Christ said, this is the blood of the new covenant. A sign. The shedding of blood. For without the shedding of blood, without the tangible proof of life being taken, there is no forgiveness of sins. Everything Moses did when he instituted the Mosaic Law, a means to have a right relationship with God, a means that we could never fulfill because of our sin nature, our desperate sin nature. Everything Moses did in the Mosaic Law pointed to the future death of Jesus Christ as the only means to be made right with God. My friends, what can wash away our sins? Moses painted a very clear picture. Nothing but the blood of Christ. Are you thankful for that? Wow. What imagery! Hyssop branches, scarlet wool, blood and water and proof of death. At every moment, at every turn, throughout the entire Old Testament, they pointed to the death and the shed blood of a Savior. And that's why Cain's was rejected. He didn't come in faith. He didn't come pointing to the shed blood. He came pointing to the works of his hands. Now, why is the blood so important? We're going to close with this. Through Jesus' blood at salvation, we receive spiritual life. We are redeemed. We are forgiven from all sins, past, present, and future. We still need to confess our sins. We still need to be right. But we have that substantive imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. You don't need last rites. You are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Let me pick up my pen. We are justified. We are reconciled to God. We have payment for our sins. We were made near to God. We were purchased. We were sanctified. We were made recipients of the new covenant promises. And now we can approach God. We don't need a high priest. Jesus is our high priest. We believe in the priesthood of believers. And if I have a problem, I can go and you can go and we can go directly to God because of His shed blood. The veil was torn. Needless to say, grab this and we're done. By that I mean the next 3 minutes. Needless to say, the blood of Jesus is the single most important theme in all of Scripture. It's everything. It should be no wonder why it is the single most hated thing in this world. And why Satan, yes, Satan, we have an adversary. Satan and this world never ceases to discredit or erase the blood of Christ. My friends, if you want to be able to quickly distinguish between a solid Bible-believing church or a liberal social gospel church that embraces the marketing of a church rather than the communicating of the truth of God's Word, watch what they do with the blood of Christ. Do they bathe in it? Or do they hide it? And for those who hide the blood of Christ, to those who want to wipe it all up and market this manufactured message to a world that can draw numbers and money, those who hide the blood of Christ teach a false gospel. What can wash away our sins? Nothing, nothing but the blood, the proof of death, the sacrificing of the only perfect Son of God, nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Christianity, in this respect, is a bloody religion with no apologies, the blood of Christ. It's important. The single most important theme in all of Scripture. Don't ever entertain the thought of cleaning it up. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your shed blood. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your love. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.